All right. Well, we're looking at Proverbs 31 today. This is a passage. It's about the excellent wife. Just want to do something to encourage the ladies. You know, this passage, it's really neat. The book of Proverbs, it's written to give wisdom and how to navigate the challenges of life. All the complex situations that you go through, this book is written to give wisdom. I know some people, they've 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, and they say, well, you just read one chapter a day. It's a great way to go through it. The last chapter is King Lemuel. Don't know a whole lot about him, but he is writing to encourage his son and is actually giving the advice that of things that he learned from his mother. So again, just seeing the influence of a mother on the king. And in this, he's pointing out some qualities that are in an excellent wife. And it's neat. It's neat to read. It's also, I think, very appropriate to honor moms on this day, because I think it is the hardest job that is out there. I know it's incredibly rewarding. You know, you're just talking to Amanda, you know, what are the things that you love about it? And she's just talking about, you know, just those times, you know, watching your kids as they take their first steps, or maybe holding your baby right after you had them, of having those snuggle time with mommy, as we call it. Kids just need some snuggle time with mommy every now and then. Or you watch them take their learn to ride a bike for the first time. Or you just see them growing up and becoming the person that God has created them to be, making good decisions and doing things like that. You know, it's incredible to see and to be a part of. And some of you, it may be the rewarding thing, maybe watching your kids grow up and have kids, and now you're getting to say, "See, I told you so." They're getting to see how difficult it is being a mom. There's some things you just don't understand how hard it is until you do it. I think parenting is up there. But being a mom, it's rewarding. It's also really hard. You have no days off, right? There are no vacations. You never graduate from being a mom. It's not like, hey, I've done that and now I'm good. Like, I don't have to worry about my kids anymore. My mom still calls me worried about this and that and all these other things. I'm like, it's gonna be okay. She's like, I can't help it. I'm your mother. I was like, I know, you tell me this every time we talk. You know, there's no days off, there's no vacations, you're always on call, and my favorite is that a sick day, it just means you do all the other stuff you do every other day, you just feel worse when you do it, right? You know? And so we want to encourage you, we want to encourage moms. I also want to say, as we get into this, look, if you're not a mom, I want you to press into this and listen to this passage. It's instructive to everybody. There's certainly things in this passage that, as you see, it's about honoring God in different situations in life. Some of the main things here is things that God calls everybody to do. Now, there's also particular expressions that relate to a wife, to a mother, but there's also general commands that this is touching on, so we can all learn from it. I also want to say you should pay attention to it, because don't wait till you're a mom to think about what it might be like to be a mom. Now, you don't have to figure everything out. You won't figure everything out till you're there, but just don't wait until then to prepare. You know, don't wait till you're married to prepare for marriage. Don't wait till you're a dad to prepare for being a dad. Look ahead. I say that because I remember my last church in D.C., I oversaw the premarital program. And I remember one time this couple, they just got married. They joined a married couples group. They knew most of the people in there. They were really excited about it. And then they got in there. And I remember talking to the leaders. They're like, hey, you know, yeah, it's kind of nice having Lori and, I can't remember her husband, having them in there. But I've just noticed, like, man, she just checks out. Like, she's just on her phone. Like, she just kind of looks like she's disinterested. And I was like, well, that's kind of funny. I wonder what's going on. So I talked to her. I was like, you know, hey, how's small group going? She's like, well, you know, I enjoy it. The people are nice. But, man, we sit down, and all they want to do is talk about their kids and how hard it is. She's like, you know, come on, just feed your kid. Let them go play. Like, how difficult is this, you know? And it was really funny, because they ended up getting pregnant right away. And within a year of joining that group, they had at least one. I think she may have had twins. But I remember shortly after having their first child, they are running into group, like barely making it, completely fatigued. They just plop down, and it's like the SOS signal, like, help. help. We need help. And her group was fantastic. They encouraged her and tried to help her with her questions and would gently remind her what she thought before she had kids. So, you know, it's just kind of funny. You never know what a year may bring. You never know when your situation may change. So I just want to encourage you, whatever season of life you're in, I hope you'll listen to this passage and recognize it's not just for moms, it's for everybody. Even you single guys out there, you know, the king is telling his son what to expect, pointing out this is what an excellent wife is. This is what an excellent woman is like. So you can learn something from it too. All right, so we're going to read Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 30. An excellent wife, who can find? She's far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack again. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She's like the ships of a merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. It's the word of the Lord. So we're going to look at this. We're going to talk about what this noble wife or excellent wife, it's really a neat word there as it communicates this excellent woman. It's a word that it denotes excellent. It denotes might, strength, power, just ability. There's also a virtuousness with that word. It's a really strong word. It describes someone that they're competent in their abilities, but also competent in their character. That's one of the things you see this. There's a clear ability that this lady has to do a lot of different things, but there's also a character that goes along with it. It's a great accolade. In the Old Testament, there was also the word there would be used to describe mighty warriors, valiant warriors. And so that word is used to describe men and women, but just this the connotation of someone who has great ability but also great character to go with it. It's almost like he's describing the ideal wife in this passage. And I didn't do a lot of research on that, but I'm sure you could look up online and have different things tell you what the ideal wife would be today. Scripture gives us a very different perspective than what the world says. There's things that are valued here that often our world doesn't value. But it's giving a portrait of what one looks like. And one of the things you see here is that she's more precious than jewels. You know, when you have somebody, it's a reminder, every person, they're more important than just what they do. There is a value in who they are. But also just recognizing the value of character, the place of that. Big reminder in this passage that we are to value those things and to esteem them. But I want to look at a couple things in this passage that we see that this woman is oriented to and talk about those. First thing I want to look at is that she is oriented to her work. I mean, you read this, and she's committed to doing things. Now, you may think about moms, and you're like, yeah, moms are always doing something. I think about when we go to Amanda's parents, and her mom, just she makes me tired. Like, I'm sitting there not doing much, but I'm just watching her doing everything. Like, she's, you know, if I've got to be careful, I say, man, I'm thirsty. She'll go and bring me something to drink. And there's times I'm like, just sit down. Just stop. Like, just relax. We're all here to have fun. Like, you don't need to make breakfast, lunch, and dinner for everybody. Just slow down. But it's kind of her nature. She loves serving people. Remember Genesis 1, we are created to have dominion. We're created to work. We're created to shape the world. And when you look in this passage, you see this lady's doing that. She is shaping the world. She's being a blessing to those who are around her. She is multi-talented. I mean, look at some of the things that she does. She looks well to the ways of her household. She doesn't eat the bread of idleness. So she's working. She's doing things. Verse 15, she rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household. So many different things that she does. She buys a field. She puts her hand to the distaff. She's making clothes is what's going on there. She plants a vineyard. She makes the bed furnishing. She's dealing with fabrics like wool and flax. She's making sure everyone is fed, taken care of. There's just an industriousness to what she's doing. My favorite here, verse 14, it says, she's like the merchant ships bringing her food from far away. I read this and I thought, you know what? I think King Lemuel saw Amanda come home from a trip to Costco. I mean, it just hit me the other day. We spend more in a week to the grocery store than our whole monthly rent when we first got married. I mean, it is a feat, like just getting all that food and stuff from Costco into the car and then into our house. You know, we send the troops out, everybody carries bags, and it takes about 20 minutes. I mean, it's just amazing. So you see that she's being industrious. She's oriented to work, to her calling. She's, you know, a lot of times in life today, we think, well, we just need to kick back and just chillax all the time. That's not what we're created to do. We're created to work and to be a blessing to other people. You know, sometimes, I mean... some of the attitudes we have when we talk about, hey, go out to the car, bring all the goods in. And oh, you know, why do I have to do that? You know, the kids are struggling with that. And mom's doing all the different things and just doing it joyfully and gratefully and no attitude. And it's like, you know, that we need to have that attitude, the attitude that mom has towards the hard parts of life. Let's have that same attitude. I mean, this lady, she's doing so many things, but there's not a begrudging attitude. There's not a complaining. It's amazing. She's full of faith. You know, that's what's behind a lot of those things, that there's just faith. She's trusting in the Lord. You also see that she anticipates difficulty. Right? It talks about snow. She's not worried when snow comes. She's got it prepared. You know, there's faith, but there's also wisdom. You know, sometimes we're like, oh, we don't need to prepare for adversity. We'll be good. Okay, sometimes that's faith, but sometimes it's foolishness. We need to look ahead and know, hey, winter's going to come. We need to have some warm clothes. Hey, these things are happening to the car. We need to prepare for that. There's faith, there's wisdom that's balanced in those things. She's working hard. You see this hard work, and it's revolving around her family. It's revolving around the people that are closest to us. It's a great reminder that having a healthy family, it is good, but it's not easy. We tell our kids that a lot. Things that are good are often hard. I remember reading the Bible with my kids when they were little, and be like, hey, is it hard reading the Bible? And they're like, yeah, sometimes it's hard. I said, it is, but it's also good. If something is good and worthwhile, it's probably going to be somewhat difficult. Just funny how that is, right? The things that are really worthwhile, the things that are good, they're also often hard. They take work to cultivate. Same thing with a family. You just can't throw it in the microwave and have a great family. It takes work. It takes effort being there for one another. And it's a great reminder that as you feel yourself giving yourself to work, sometimes you can have regrets. Sometimes you think, man, should I be doing something else in life? Men and women, you know. Ladies, maybe it's all the work that you're doing around the household. Sometimes guys, it's the job that you have. But you start to look and think, man, look at all this that I've done. Look at all the work that I've put in. Look at all the things that I have sacrificed in order to make this happen. You know, when you're young, you look ahead with faith to different things, and sometimes it can be hard trusting God. Hey, am I going to get married? Hey, am I ever going to have kids? You know, you're looking forward, and it can be difficult thinking through those things. It can be difficult to trust God. When you get a little bit older, you can kind of, you still have that, but you also have a different view of the past. Sometimes it's trusting God means you have to trust Him not with the future, but with the past, with your past decisions. A lot of times regret can start to seep in there. Man, I spent years and years doing this for the kids. I could have been doing this for myself. Man, I spent years and years sacrificing at this job so I could make these things happen. You can regret the work that you've put into things. And that's where you have to trust God. You have to trust Him with the decisions you've made. You have to trust Him with your own limitations. That's one of the things marriage and parenting teaches you to deal with, is your own limitations. You only have so much time. You only have so many decisions. You can't do everything you want. You have to focus on certain things. I know a lot of ladies that have sacrificed career advancement to be home with the kids or to be available for the kids. Sometimes you think, man, I could be way further ahead. Those are sacrifices. That's work that you've done, and you have to trust the Lord with that. You trust the Lord with the decisions you've made. You trust that you made the best decisions in the time that you could. And you recognize that God has created me to work. He's created me to do things. You're going to sacrifice. You're going to give yourself to something. You want to make sure that you're giving yourself to the things that God calls you to sacrifice for. We have to recognize that what He's called us to do is to work, to be a blessing to others. So we see that she's oriented towards work. Second thing that we see is that she's oriented to the home. There's an orientation there. Now, let me just go ahead and say this right off. I know people ask me about this. Does this Proverbs 31 woman, does she work inside the home or outside the home? Which is it? Which is it? Both, right? You know, sometimes people are like, oh, you know, just supposed to be inside. Or some people are like, well, I feel called outside. Well, I know moms, stay-at-home moms, but they're still going outside. They're still doing stuff. Many of them have other ways that they're working in the world. I know even moms that have full-time jobs, but there's a deep longing and an orientation to the home. I think that is a God-given desire. That's something that God puts in you. When you birth a child, there's an orientation to that. There's an orientation to their well-being, rightfully so. Even dads, there's a desire to make sure your home is taken care of. That's good. That is appropriate. It's part of what God calls us to do. Basic calling in life, to have dominion. Other part of that in Genesis is to multiply. Well, multiplying means that you got to take care of the kids. And so there's obviously an orientation to what's going on there. There's a love. There's a sacrifice for those in the home. I mean, even in this passage, you see household repeated over and over again. She's caring for those things. She's taking an interest in that. She's sacrificing for that. Moms sacrifice themselves over and over and over again for the well-being of their family. I mean, you could talk physically, just staying up late. You could talk physically, just having a child and all that does. I know a few years ago, Amanda, hope you don't mind me sharing this, was going through just some health things and trying to figure out what's going on. And she finally talked to somebody and she said, you know what? You had 4 kids in 8 years. That's a lot for a body to go through. Like, your body's looking for a new normal. And it was so helpful for us because we were like, yeah, we've got to figure that out. Sacrificing physically, just going through that. But there's also the emotional. All those things that go into being with your household, caring for them. We see that going on in this passage. We also see that there is a sacrifice. Sacrificing the many outside to focus on a few in the home. That can be a sacrifice. You know, what we see in the world, if you're on social media, we love to see the post that just explodes and gets a million views. Wow, I took this picture of my kid and, you know, a million views. Wow, that's fantastic. You love the post where you can talk about what you're doing and the whole world chimes in and says, wow, that's awesome. But so much of our work, so much of everybody's work, so much of the work in the home really goes unnoticed. It's not celebrated by millions. And sometimes there's a longing for that. And sometimes you can see, well, I'm just sowing into a few. Well, you know, it's interesting. Jesus obviously had the multitudes following him, but he focused on a few. And most of us, we're not going to impact the millions and billions of people. But it's the people who are closest to us that matter most. I heard a well-known pastor say this week. He said, fame is sacrificing time with the people you know to spend time with people you don't know. I thought that's a really interesting take on it. Fame is sacrificing time with the people you know to make time for people you don't know. And it can be, you know, we can esteem fame and being known by others, and sometimes it can seem insignificant. You can say, hey, I'm just at home with the kids. Hey, I'm just at home with my family. Hey, I spent most of my week in my household. And it's okay. That can be what God calls us to. And you may not affect the multitudes, but those few, you're going very deep with them. You are having a profound influence on who they are. And we recognize that there are things that we sacrifice. We sacrifice going out and trying to be known in the public by the multitudes. It's okay to sacrifice that to serve a few. Remember Jesus, he said, the greatest among you will be a servant of all. It's one of the things that marriage, parenting, just being in a family, you know, making a family work, it takes sacrifice by everybody. Even the kids, you know, there's times that you're sacrificing your preferences. Hey, I'd rather go here and get this ice cream, but okay, everybody wants to go here. You've got to sacrifice. You've got to make concessions. For there to be peace in a home, there's sacrifices being made by everybody, and particular sacrifices being made by your parents, by mothers, by fathers. You are sacrificing for the well-being of the whole. You don't want to scorn that. You don't want to think it's insignificant. The Lord sees it all. And that's what we trust, that He can reward us. You may never be recognized as the greatest dad in the history of the world. You may never get a plaque saying the greatest mom in the history of the world. It's okay. You trust the Lord with those things. Be faithful to Him. Be faithful with what He's done. And yet it's also neat. There is a trusting God with the private things and orientation to the home and the family and those closest to you. But you also see that this lady, she's having an influence. It says her husband is known in the gates of the city. He's with the elders of the city, the leadership of the city. You know, in this time period, it would be a very rare thing for a woman to be in the leadership of the city. And yet, this lady's influence is being felt, even in the city. She's influencing her husband. I thought it was kind of neat, not to make too much of this, but it's called her husband. It's like he belongs to her, right? You know, he's going out. He's having an influence. Her influence goes well beyond the household. Sometimes you just focus on a few things, and you do those well, and you can be amazed at the influence that you do have. Focus on a few things, do those well. Trust the Lord with that. We see her, she's oriented to her work, she's oriented towards her home, towards her family, towards her husband, her kids, all of those things. But we also see that her influence is going well beyond that. Third thing to see is that she's oriented to the Lord. I think this is the most important one. It's the most important thing in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 1:7, I think we have this on the screen. It tells us the whole goal of this book is to teach others wisdom, to do what's just and right and fair, to navigate the difficult situations in the world and to do it right. And it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you want to be wise, you fear the Lord. Simple as that. If you want to succeed in life, key to that, fear the Lord. Follow Him. Trust Him. Well, we see the same thing rounding out this book as well at the end of it. Verse 29 says, many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. That's what's in the backdrop of everything. All the other stuff going on. She fears the Lord. She's putting the Lord first and foremost in her life. You know, we've talked about sometimes if you put first things first, you get everything else. If you mess up and put secondary or tertiary things first, you usually lose everything, right? You know, it's one of those things that put the Lord first leads you to be a good steward. It leads you to be a good worker. It leads you to be a good mom, a good dad. It leads you to have a good family. If you put the family first, family becomes an idol, and it can't support the pressures that you put on it. You've got to put the Lord first. If you just, hey, I've got to be a great worker. I've got to be the best worker in the office. I've got to be number one there. It's amazing. You'll see people's lives begin to fall apart because their priorities are out of order. You put the Lord first. Put him first. And as a mom, that's the best thing you can do. Rachel said, steer away from the perfection infection. I like that. You just got to steer away from it. Your kids don't need a perfect mom. They need a mom who fears the Lord. They need a mom that knows she's not perfect, but knows that she has a Savior. And that's the best thing you can do for them because your kids are not going to be perfect, and they're going to have to figure out how to deal with their own imperfections. Trust the Lord. Look to him. Charm is deceptive. Beauty is fleeting. Things that the world values. Beauty is fleeting. You know, that the word there where it talks about fleeting, it's actually a word that it's used in the book of Ecclesiastes, if you've ever read that before. And you know that that book, it teaches just the vanity of life. It says that beauty is a chasing after the wind. Just try and catch the wind right now. Just grab, it's right in front of you. Grab the wind. Can you grab it? It's right there. You know, it's so close. But you can never grab the wind. And that's what it's saying there, is beauty. It's fleeting. It's literally a chasing after the wind. Charm, all these things that, you know, seem so great. Man, it can leave you empty. Take my kids to the grocery store, and, you know, I'm kind of mixed on this. A lot of times we're at the checkout line, and you see all the, what are those, the tabloid magazines? Is that what they're called, tabloid magazines? And, you know, I used to be like, hey, don't look at that. But there's times where I'm like, hey, just look at that. You see all these people with lots of money, and they look really good, you know, and it's pictures of them at the beach and all this other stuff, and then you read it, and they're getting divorced. They're filing lawsuits against each other. I started pointing out, because it's like, look at it. Man, they've given in to the lies of the world, and look where it's gotten them. It's empty. It's shallow. It seems so good in the moment, and then just like that, it's gone. It's over. What does it leave you with? It leaves you empty. Beauty is vain. It's a chasing after the wind. So many things, you know, even success. You know, you look at the checkout line and people that are just at the pinnacle of success. But what you see is their character hasn't grown as fast as their success has. Sports. Their character hasn't grown as fast as their success has. It's a reminder of the importance of character. And character begins with fearing the Lord, with knowing him, with following him. If you want to be a blessing to your family, fear the Lord. Trust him. We see here, character, it matters. You know, verse 25, we'll look at a couple things here. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She laughs at the time to come. There's a joy about her. There's a strength. There's a dignity. That's someone you respect, right? And you look at her and say, there's strength, there's dignity. She's doing what's right. There's a joy. She's laughing. I mean, I think about our family. Some of my favorite times are when we're just hanging out in the kitchen and everybody's laughing, just having a good time. There's a joy there. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. It's a reminder that what you fill yourself with comes out. I think one of the things in the backdrop of this is that she's been in the Word of God. How do you grow in wisdom? Proverbs says, it's being in the Word of God. How do you grow in knowing what to do? You know the Lord. You read His Word. How do you figure out what the right thing to do? Well, you know God. You spend time with Him. You don't get that by accident. You know, doing the right thing is usually hard. You don't just happen into it. You don't do the right thing because it's easy. It takes effort. It takes effort to know what to do. It takes effort to keep doing it. That's what she's doing here. And one thing with this is that, you know, as you see this strength, as you see this dignity, as you see, you know, throughout this section, it's like this lady, she's just giving and giving and giving and giving. But she doesn't wear out. Isn't that interesting? I think that there is a renewal that we find in the Lord. There is a renewal in spending time in His Word. There is a renewal in resting. And, you know, when family becomes first, you feel like you can't rest, right? Right, ladies? You know, you have those times where it's just like, man, I've got to get all this stuff done, and you get out of balance, and all of a sudden it's like, no, I've got to do it. No, you've got to be a child of God, first and foremost. You've got to be a child of God. You know, when we were at the pastor's retreat last week, a guy named Chip Dodd spoke. He wrote a book called The Voice of the Heart. It's a great book. Some of you guys need to read this. It's Understanding the Eight Emotions, all right? We'll talk about that later, but just teaser. But he said this while he was there. He said, tiredness comes from not living in daily renewal. Tiredness comes from not living in daily renewal. You get tired, you get burnt out. You haven't been renewing yourself. Look, your phone wears out and you need to go put it on the charger. You're like that phone in a lot of ways. You've got to recharge. You've got to find ways to renew yourself. And one of the main ways is renewing ourselves in the Lord, finding our strength in Him. You know, yes, get out, go for a walk. You know, just get away from the kids. When our kids were little, made sure Amanda took time to do that. Like, just get out. Like, I know they need stuff. We'll be fine. We'll be fine for an hour. We'll make it. You know, I'll do damage control. Everybody will be alive when you get back. Yes, the house is going to be a little bit messier. It's going to be a little bit chaotic. Things won't be in the right, but we'll deal with it. Like, just get out for a little bit. Get out for a few hours. Go exercise. Go spend some time with a friend. Talk. Do something you enjoy. Certainly spend time in God's Word. You know, it's kind of funny talking about those things, just how we need renewal. A while back, I read something by a secular counselor, and he was telling people this. He says, people need to drink less alcohol, they need to put their screens away, they need to spend meaningful time with people they love, and they need to read inspirational writing that helps them care for their inner longings. And I read that, and I said, this guy sounds like a pastor. He sounds like a preacher. Modern secular counselor telling us to do what the Bible instructs us to do. Even Jesus took time to get away. Early in the morning, he'd pull away. He'd pray. Scripture calls us to have times away, times of refreshing, to spend in His Word. And you need to have those boundaries, and you need to make sure people respect them. A couple weeks ago, I was reading in the morning. Amanda came down and read, and I'm sure it happens more than that. I just remember this one day in particular because a couple of our younger boys were there, and they're trying to tell us all these things going on, and it was kind of needed for, and it just kept going. And Amanda just said, "Hey, what time is it?" And they're like, "Oh, it's your quiet time." He's like, "Yeah, you know." And I wanted to jump in and reinforce that. It's like, guys, let mom have some time to herself. It's important. She needs time in the Word. She needs time with the Lord. One of the best things you can do to serve those around you, care for your own soul. Experience renewal with the Lord. Experience renewal. Husbands, make sure your wives are experiencing that. Make sure you are creating time for it. Moms never feel like they can get away. Encourage them with it. Ladies, if your husband comes up and says, hey, why don't you go for a walk? Go for a walk. If he comes up and says, hey, I'll cut the onions and put them on the pizza, let him cut the onions. All right, yeah, they're not going to be done the exact same way. He may use the wrong knife. Other stuff may get a little bit messy. It's going to be okay. All right? You with me? Guys, can I get amen? Like, we need to make sure our wives are doing well. Ladies, we need you to help us on that. Experience renewal. Let others come in. Teach your kids to respect those boundaries. Help them to see. They need to see this. You know, we live in a time where there's no days off, right? Like, we work remotely. You know, we're always on. You've got to be disciplined to turn the phone off, turn the screens off, turn the computer off, and relax for a little bit. I think that's one of the best things that we can do for our kids is help them to see that there are times you don't need to think about school. There are times you need to rest and get away. Our kids need to see that balance. A lot of what we're seeing right now is just you go, 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 and you don't stop until you collapse, until you burn out. That's not healthy. We need to fear the Lord. We need to trust Him. As we fear Him, we follow His ways, and there's a blessing in doing that. This woman, she is doing so much, but she's also experiencing renewal. Verse 29, many women have done excellent, but you surpass them all. There's an appropriateness of celebrating what she's done. I think it's also a good reminder for us. You know, this passage, I believe there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. 22 lines here. Each one starts out with a different letter of the alphabet. It's an acrostic. They took time to really think through this lady, how to honor her. And I think it's appropriate. Now, the poetry that your husband writes and your kids write, it's probably not going to be that good. You know, you got to, you know, it's not going to stand thousands of years, but, you know, husbands, kids, let's honor our wives. Let's honor our moms. Celebrate that. Do your very best. It's just appropriate to celebrate that. It's appropriate to give thanks. It's appropriate to praise where someone's worthy of praise. Give honor where honor is due. We need to do that. We need to take time today to honor them. But also, you know, just on that note of praise, you know, it says a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. When we praise God, that's what we're created to do. Again, going back to putting first things first. If you want to be worthy of praise, you focus on something that's worthy of praise. You focus on the Lord. He alone is worthy of our worship. And when we focus on Him, when you look at something, you begin to become like that thing. When you focus in a direction, you keep your eyes on it, and you just end up moving that direction. If you've ever ridden a mountain bike, people tell you, hey, if there's a tree, don't look at the tree. Look at the road. Because if you start looking where you look, that's where you're going to go. So you may see an obstacle coming. Don't look at the obstacle. Look at the road. You're going to go on where you're focused on. And in life, we need to make sure that, yeah, we want to focus on being a husband. We want to focus on being a wife. Focus on being, but it's not our primary focus. Our greatest focus is on the Lord. We want to be like Him. We want to celebrate Him. We want to celebrate what He's done. And when we do that, it puts us in position to be the woman that God calls you to be the man that God calls you to be. And kids, it's the same thing there. You've got to put the Lord first. You're not going to be the teenager, the college student, whatever it is. You're not going to be what God has called you to be if you're not looking to Him. You need to look to Him first and foremost. And that's the greatest thing that you can do for yourself, and it's the greatest thing that you can do for those around you. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for this word, that it invigorates us. God, it helps us to see what You've done. It helps us to see what we are created to do. And we are created to be worshipers. We're created to celebrate who You are. And only as we do that can we take care of the things that You entrust to our care. And Lord, I just pray for all of us here as we hear this, God, there are many other things that vie for the first place in our life. And I just pray that we could push those aside and put You first and foremost. God, I pray that as we do that, we would experience a renewal, that You would strengthen us in our hearts and souls and minds. Give us peace, give us joy, and help us to be the people You call us to be and the people that we can only be as we trust in Jesus, as we trust in Him for the forgiveness of our sins, as we trust in Him as our Lord and our example. And I just pray You would encourage each mom here, encourage each person to rest in You. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.